Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Trust you had a great, great weekend this weekend. We most certainly did. I can't imagine a greater moment. In fact, it was so good. In all sincerity, I thought, Lord, what is left? What could possibly be left? We had an amazing weekend at New Wine Ministries in Northwest Arkansas. The people gathered together, and it was phenomenal. You could actually... And I don't know how this works. If you go to our Facebook page or YouTube, and we were live recording our services over the weekend, if you could actually capture the anointing that was there. But we had some special gifts and some good word, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful atmosphere of God encouraging his kids and getting the church ready for the days that lie ahead. There's no doubt about it. Serious business. But such a beautiful gathering. We had so many new families showing up this weekend. It was wonderful to see. And we praise the living God. Trust you had a great Memorial weekend and that you did some special things along the way. I know it's a time to remember those who have fought and laid their lives down for this country. Praise the Lord. I always like to incorporate it into our American Memorial Day, the memorial of the founding fathers of the true ecclesia, or even going back to the very beginning of time, those who labored in faith, who labored in love to bring forth a revelation, especially of our Lord Jesus Christ. So having said that, once again, good morning. I have a lot of information I want to share with you today. We're going back to the book of Revelation. We're going to do that in chapter 8. We're going to do a little review. We kind of perused through it last Friday. And I want to bring us up to speed and show some more biblicity to what we're talking about, okay? So we're looking forward to that. But before I go, we have some very important information. I mean, information that's rather important to share. And what I would like to do is just give you the opportunity this morning to be judiciary in your thinking, okay? In other words, I'm going to share some information with you and... let you be the judge of what you're hearing, okay? I have a trusted source that gave me the information, and I think it's absolutely wonderful that we could have trusted sources, and I mean that sincerely. It's really good. So Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, isn't he? And God is good all the time, isn't he? And here we are on this Tuesday, May 26th, 2020. We are days away from the celebration of the Feast of Shavuot. And the Feast of Shavuot is what we know as the Feast of Pentecost. And we know that Pentecost is the 50th day when the counting of the Omer began, which was the day after the first night of Passover. And so, you know, there's a little bit of, splitting of hairs on the actual day when it all begins, and everybody's convinced on their side what the day is. However, we believe that Thursday night when the sun sets will be the first night of Shavuot, and then all day Friday will be the day of Pentecost fully came. It says in Acts chapter 2. And so on Friday, we at New Wine Ministries are going to be having a celebration up on our ark, and we're going to be enjoying the day and really pressing in to maybe God's going to do some amazing things. I don't know about you, but I would love to have an infilling and an outpouring from God's Spirit into our lives and to see some amazing things for the times we're living in. What a great moment for the body of Yeshua to be baptized or immersed in the living waters of the Holy Spirit. I just can't imagine, you know, anything being greater than that or more deliberate or more powerful. And my prayer to God is that He will fill up His people, the awakened ones, the ones who are gathering together, the ones who basically know and understand. 2,000 years ago, there were, 120 people? Some people say there were just 12 apostles, 120 people in an upper room, and God did something. God did some amazing things that changed the world. And after we get into the information today of what's going on in the world, we may be better prepared or situated to say, Lord, we really do need your Holy Spirit. We need that guide, that one that will come alongside of us in our journey and lead the way and encourage us and empower us and strengthen us and remind us of truth. And again, this is the most important thing. So one of the reasons why we celebrate the feasts of the Lord is because they are to be remembered. The Apostle Peter, several times in his letters to the church of his day, was, I write to stir up your pure memory, your pure minds, to bring remembrance. And oftentimes throughout Scripture, there were the memorial stones when the children of Israel passed over the Jordan. There are memorials where God said, gather these rocks, build a little altar with the rocks, so that when your generations come, say, what's the meaning of these rocks, that you might tell the story. And so a memorial right now to remember and celebrating the Feast of Passover, to remember the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God and all the things associated with it, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of First Fruits were the first three that we've already celebrated. We've been counting the Omer, and we're now days away from the Shavuot, the 50th day. And we know that under the old covenant, if you will, if you want to go back to Torah, it was 50 days after Passover that God gave his law on and from Mount Sinai. And so that was the giving of the law. In the new covenant, 50 days after Christ was crucified, we know that God gave his Spirit. And this is a powerful dynamic, and we need to get into it and understand it. So what is this all about? I believe that Passover is all about the Son of God, the blood of the Lamb. And I believe that Pentecost is all about, or Shavuot is all about, the Spirit. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, the third great feast where everyone was to gather together, is about the Father. I actually believe that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are revealed in the feasts of the Lord. We're not celebrating them externally. We're celebrating the internal impact that the feast have, the internal impact of what it means to have our minds cleared and our conscience cleared by the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews tells us all about it, but also the impact that brings transformation through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, a living, operative, active Holy Spirit making the difference in our lives. I believe that is intrinsic. I believe there's value, and that's why we do it, to remember. But we also know that the work of the Son and the work of the Spirit are to prepare us for an encounter with our Father. In the Feast of Tabernacles, that is the realm of the Father. So I saw in my search and my study about the Feast of the Lord that the year would begin with Passover, And that is a 30-fold feast. That's the beginning. That's the 30-fold feast. And then when you move into Shavuot or Pentecost, that's a 60-fold feast. And by the time you get to Tabernacles in the fall, that's the 100-fold. And so you have a 30, 60, and 100-fold. And then in Passover, we have an outer court ministry where all the blood of the animals was slain. And then in Pentecost or Shavuot, you had an inner court ministry of the tabernacle. So in the outer courts, that's where the blood was slain. In the inner court, you had a priesthood serving the temple, the tabernacle. But then in the Feast of Tabernacles, you go into the Holy of Holies. So you have a 30-fold feast, a 60-fold feast, a 100-fold feast. You have an outer court feast, an inner court feast, and a Holy of Holies feast. In the realm of the outer court, the 30-fold, that's the realm of faith. In the realm of the inner court or the Feast of Pentecost or Shavuot, you have the, stay with me, don't let me just get this out there. I'm going to lay a foundation. So in Pentecost or Shavuot, you have the realm of hope. So you have the faith realm, the hope realm, and then of course in Tabernacles, you have the love realm, the intimacy realm. Faith, hope, and love, these three remain. The greatest of these is love. So Tabernacles is the Holy of Holies, 100-fold love realm with the Father, okay? And the others are faith, hope, love, 30, 60, 100, outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies, with the Son in Passover, the Spirit in Pentecost, the Father in Tabernacle. So there's some great types and shadows to glean the intrinsic value, again, of what these feasts mean to us. That's why we celebrate them. So as we celebrated Passover and we're moving on, we went to Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, then we moved on, and now we're counting the Omer, going for this Thursday evening and Friday all day and Saturday. It's a two-day feast of Shavuot, and people should be gathering together. We have friends in our ministry that are actually making the challah bread, the actual ingredients of what was required. They're going to do that. That's going to be huge. The wave, the loaves that will be waved. And we're also going to apply the waving of the loaves to Yeshua, who said, I am the bread of life, and whoever eats this bread shall never die. So in our teaching, we're going to incorporate all of these things. Now, what's really awesome is that people in Passover, you know, the most important thing to the children of Israel was that they got their Passover offering to the Lord. And in the next great feast, Shavuot, there's another offering that goes on. But then what happens is the next 4 months should be reaping months. So the grain offering, the wheat offering leads to an abundant harvest. And I'm praying and asking God for those that have given offerings during Passover and will be given offerings during Shavuot, that the next 4 months of their lives will be nothing but reaping. Spiritual blessings, external blessings, prosperity, blessing, whatever it is, direction, wisdom, relationship, health, whatever it is that God says that he increases the fruits of our righteousness and he multiplies our seed sown. So I'm looking forward to a massive harvest, a four-month harvest that will lead us to the fall feast, okay? So you're going to have all of June, July, August, September, 4 months of reaping. Then comes that great fall harvest, beginning with the day of trumpets or the Rosh Hashanah, which is in the first day of the seventh month, Tishri. And then on the 10th day, the Day of Atonement, we know that as Yom Kippur. And then on the 14th day of the seventh month begins the great Feast of Tabernacles. And again, so much of the Word of God, old and new, can be incorporated into these feasts and see the glory of each one of them. That's why we do it. Now, having spoken about these things, the Feast of the Lord, I'm going to shift and I'm going to share with you some information that came from a friend of mine and a brother of ours and an individual that he and his wife just came to our ministry a few months ago, Ian. And Ian, you've probably heard him on Kerm Radio. He sent me this a couple of days ago, and I want to get into this information. So now that you're ready to be judicial and you're ready to just let me read through it. It's not going to take that long, maybe 7 minutes, maybe 8 minutes, and I'll take it nice and slow. We have an hour and a half today because I definitely want to get into the book of Revelation that's going to complement everything else we're talking about. So I'm going to lay this forth. You be the judge. And here we go. So I'm going to open this up. And I want to read. This is what I was sent. It's not written by Ian, but it was someone by the name of Jason Lubell. Jason Lubell. And here's how it all begins. He says, please share before it's removed. This lockdown planned over 10 years ago. It's found this is a good summary of what has, is, and will be if we let it. It's a great resource, he said. It's a summary of the Rockefeller document from 2010. So this is a summary of the Rockefeller document from 2010 and outlines the lockstep. It's very important. This is what is planned for the rest of 2020 and beyond. So here it is. Many who have been studying these things feel the following is in play, but we are still able to win, to love, to be a better humanity. For those who still do not know what Operation Lockstep is about, this is the plan. So we'll go to the next page here. Hypothesize, this is all the way back from 2010. I want you to keep that in mind. I won't keep saying it, but remember, this is from 2010, and it's what's happening today. And this was called Operation Lockstep, and it was in the Rockefeller documentation from 2010. Hypothesize a simulated global outbreak. Required steps, various phases, overall timeline, and expected outcomes. And again, that comes from Rockefeller Lockstep 2010. Create a very contagious but super low mortality rate virus to fit the needed plan. SARS, HIV, hybrid research strain created at Fort Detrick Class 4 lab from 2008 to 2013. In other words, in 2010, this was the idea, but from 2008 to 2013, in Fort Detrick Class 4 lab, SARS, HIV, hybrid research strain was created as part of a research project to find out why coronaviruses spread like wildfire in bats but have an extremely hard time infecting humans, hence the four HIV inserts, aka the missing key to infect the human ACE2 receptor. Okay. Next step, create a weaponized version of the virus with a much higher mortality rate as a backup plan, ready to be released in phase three, but only if needed. That would be a SARS, HIV, MERS, weaponized tri-bridge strain created at Fort Detrick Class 4 lab in 2015. So this has already been completed. Transport the research strain to a different Class 4 lab, which would be the National Microbiology Lab in Winnipeg, Canada, and have it stolen and smuggled out by China on the minority. Okay, on, let me get, I went a little bit too far. Hold on 1 second. Smuggled out by China or Xi Jinping. And if the majority of people go against the agenda, just thinking if I've gone too, no, I went way too far here. Hold on 1 second. We're not getting the full part of this. Ooh, hold on. Oops. Okay. We're just a little bit, no, we've got to get back here. Okay, smuggled out by China on purpose. So smuggle it out of Canada into China on purpose and taken to China's only Class 4 lab, which is Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China, for added plausible deniability and to help cement the wanted backup public script as something to fall back on if needed. The primary script being its natural backup script being that China created it and released it by accident. So the initial is Number one, they were saying this in 2010, make sure that it's a natural phenomena. But if that doesn't work, if word gets out that there's a problem, then blame China. Okay. Fund all the talking heads, Fauci, Birx, Tedros, and agencies, the WHO, the NIAID, the CDC, the UN, that would be involved with pandemic response prior to the planned release of the research strain to control the wanted script throughout the operation. Create and fund the vaccination development and rollout plans so it's capable of being rolled out on a global scale. Gates, decade of vaccines, Global Vaccine Action Plan 2010 to 2020. This is all in Bill Gates' information. Simulate the lockstep hypotheses just prior. Okay, now it takes people to find. Okay, so let me go back here just a little bit. I'm taking this from another way here. So, okay. Let's see. Okay. Just prior, weaponized, Xizing on. Okay. So I'm just missing it. Give me 1 second here. Saying that there is a threat and the cause of all the problems. So again, I'm missing a page in this area here. So again, create and fund it, simulate the hypotheses just prior to the release, I would imagine. Then they're going to get into say that there are a threat and the cause of all the problems. Yeah, it's way too far ahead. I'm sorry. I don't want to mess this up too bad. What I'm going to do is I'm going to refer to what I have on my phone. So here we go. This is a lot easier. Okay. So, all right. So simulate the lockstep hypotheses just prior. Simulate the lockstep hypotheses just prior to the planned research strain. Release using a real-world exercise as a final war game to determine expected response timelines and outcomes. That was from Gates, Event 2001 in October 2019. Release the research strain at the Wuhan Institute of Virology itself and then blame its release on a natural scapegoat as the wanted primary script. The Wuhan wet market was the release. Downplay the human-to-human transmission for as long as possible to allow the research strain to spread on a global scale before any country can lock down or respond to avoid initial infection. So in other words, release this, say it's a natural thing from the Wuhan market, the wet market, let it spread, but don't shut it down and don't get responding yet. Give it time to spread. Once a country has seed infection in place, lock down incoming, outgoing travel, but keep the transmission within the country spreading for as long as possible. Once enough people in a country or region are infected, enact forced quarantines or isolation for that area and expand the lockdown region slowly over time. Overhype the mortality rate by tying the research strain to deaths that have little to nothing to do with the actual virus to keep the fear and compliance at a maximum. If anyone dies for any reason and is found they have COVID, consider it a COVID death. And if anyone is thought to maybe had symptoms of COVID, to assume they have COVID and consider it a COVID death. So we've heard a lot of that. A lot of deaths are due to other diseases, but they're putting it in the COVID category. Keep the public quarantined for as long as possible to destroy the region's economy, create civil unrest, break down the supply chain, and cause the start of mass food shortages, as well as cause people's immune system to weaken due to lack of interaction with other people, bacteria, the outside world, aka the things that keeps our immune system alert and active. So this is all very interesting. Downplay and attack any potential treatments and continue to echo that only a cure is viable to fight this virus, aka a vaccine. Continue to drag out the quarantine over and over and over again in 2-week intervals, causing more and more people to eventually stand up and protest or defy them. Eventually, end the phase one quarantine once they get enough public pushback from June 2020. So here comes more of the 2010. This is all from the Rockefeller document in 2010. And this is what they are speculating is now underway in 2020. So, and publicly state that they still think it's too early to end the isolation, but are going to do it anyways. Once the public go back to normal, wait a few weeks, and then continue to overhype the research strain mortality rate from August to September 2020 and combine it with the increase in deaths due to people dying from standard illnesses at a higher rate than normal due to having highly weakened immune systems from months of being in isolation to help further pad the mortality rate and hype the upcoming phase two lockdown. Eventually, enact phase two quarantines from October to November 2020 on an even more extreme level and blame the protesters, mostly people who don't trust their government already, for the cause of the larger second wave. We told you so. It was too early. This is all your fault because you needed a haircut. Your freedoms have consequences, they will say. Enforce the phase two quarantines at a much more extreme level, increasing the penalty for defiance. Replace fines with jail time. Deem all travel as non-essential. Increase checkpoints, including military assistance. Increase tracking or tracing of the population, mandatory apps. Take over control of food, gas, large-scale shortages so that people can only get access to essential products, services, if they are first given permission. Keep the phase two lockdown in place for a much longer period of time than the phase one lockdown, continuing to destroy the global economy, further degrade the supply chain, and further amplify the food shortages and alike. Quell any public outrage using extreme actions of force and make anyone who defies them appear as public enemy number one to those who are willing to submit. After a rather long phase two lockdown, 6+ months, roll out the vaccination program plus vaccine certification and make it mandatory for everyone, giving priority access to those that submitted from the start, and have those that are for it attack those that are against it, saying they are a threat and the cause of all the problems. In other words, we can't go back to normal until everyone takes the vaccine. People defying them are hurting our way of life and therefore are the enemy. Okay. So we know that Bill Gates explains that the COVID vaccine will use experimental technology and permanently alter your DNA. That's another website to look at. Continuing on, in the 2010 Rockefeller documentation, if the majority of people go along with the agenda, then let those people enter the new system, which is the new normal, while limiting the minority that defy the agenda's ability to work, travel, or live. If the majority of people go against the agenda, then release the weaponized SARS, HIV, MERS, tribrid strain as phase three, a virus with a 30% mortality rate as a final scare to push the minority to quickly become the majority and give a final "we told you so" to those that didn't listen. Enact the new economy model, Microsoft patent 060606 cryptocurrency system, using body activity data, which is based on human behavior and willingness to submit, or the tweaked version of Black Mirror's 15 million merits, using food, water, shelter, and other essentials as a weapon of enforcement of the new economic system. Basically, do what we want and get rewarded, gain credits and score and gain more access to things you need to survive, or go against what we want and get penalized. In other words, lose credits, score, and lose access to things you need to survive. Now, that is the Rockefeller 2010 document that was composed. Bill Gates is in it and all that he's been doing along the path. And it's so eerily resemblant of what we are facing right now, what we're going through right now. So you be the judge. I gave the information. It was given to me. We are witnessing so many things that were written in that are actually, to me, absolutely amazing. Is it possible? I guess my question is, and I'm going to read the Bible, and I believe the Bible is going to be the final say for me. Is it possible that this has been planned for a very long time? Is it possible that the globalists, who are the satanic priesthood, the Luciferian priesthood, don't be surprised by that. It's true. There are people that serve Satan, just like there are people that serve God. And the Luciferian priesthood, the satanic priesthood, is spread out all over the world. It's been very cloaked for a very long time. You could get into all the different streams of the Club of Rome, the Illuminati, and on and on and on of the 13 families at the top, you know, all these different organizations that do exist. Have they been working, particularly in my understanding from the Y2K thing that was happening to prepare the world to bring all the nations of the earth online while people were afraid that the computers were going to shut down and there was going to be a blackout? What was actually happening in Y2K, and this is verified factual scientific evidence, reality, the world was afraid that in Y2K, the computers would shut down, the earth would go dark, information would be lost. And so they employed all their engineers, the electronic engineers, to try to fix the problem. And of course, January 1st, 2000 came and everything was okay. But what came out of that was the entire world, all the third world countries, were brought online. There was an electrical connectedness, an electronic connectedness among the nations, which is good if you want to control the nations and you want to set up a digital currency and you want to have all the data of every human being on the planet stored in an information bank, et cetera, et cetera. So alongside of this came along the technocrats, the technocrat engineers, the scientific engineers that are ready to take over everything because they believe that both government, religion failed to bring harmony to the earth. And so there's something that's going on big time, and it's been operating for a very long time. And, you know, the United Nations came to power 72 years ago, right around there, 70-something years ago, along with Israel becoming a nation and all kinds of other activities that were happening. But specifically, the last 20 years, the acceleration to globalize, to harmonize the nations of the earth, which tells me when I go back to biblical prophecy or I go read the old stories of a man named Nimrod who wanted to build a city and a tower whose height reached to heaven, and they wanted to bore into heaven, actually is the Hebrew reality. They wanted to bore through that dimensional veil into the realm of God. This is the rebellion of mankind that I will be God. That's the Luciferian spirit that existed then that is going to exist in these last days. But when I saw a tower being built by Nimrod, now we have alongside of everything we're talking about, the 5G towers that are going up all over the world to once again connect and harmonize all the people of the planet so that they will have make a name for themselves in a city, et cetera, et cetera. It's very closely related, okay? And without getting into all the detail, we have these different events going on at the same time, but there is a methodology to it. There is an intelligence behind it, and we can never forget that we are not just dealing with the Rockefellers or the Illuminati or the Council on Foreign Relations or the Club of Rome or the Masons or the Freemasons or any of that. We are dealing ultimately with Satan, the dark lord of the ages, the fallen one. This serpent, the dragon, we are dealing with a satanic principality and power that has been wreaking havoc upon this earth since the fall of Adam. And he's had a tremendous amount of power, and he's brought death into the world and deception into the world. And now Jesus Christ has defeated him and broken him. And all who believe in Jesus Christ and are properly educated know how to fight these demonic powers, to bind a spirit, rebuke a spirit, and to drive back the forces. But the church has been very limited in its knowledge and understanding and have been relegated to a kindergarten education and have really never known how to fight this battle. And we've got to get educated quickly, because Satan, his spirit is in the Nation of Islam. His spirit is in the mind of the occult. His spirit is in the mind of the Luciferian priesthood. His spirit is in Mystery Babylon. It's all satanic. It's all demonic. And it's just the way that he spreads 7 heads and 10 horns. It's his mechanism. It's his machinations. It's him, his spirit, his intelligence. He's been around a long time. The Bible says he is going to make his greatest move in the last days, just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That in fact, he's going to be unveiled and uncloaked when that war in the heavenlies does take place, and he is going to be cast down to the earth. And this is a powerful revelation in Revelation chapter 12, that the adversary will come down onto the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because he's coming down to you having great fury and wrath, and he begins his great 3.5-year tribulation against everything that is called God. The world is being set for that right now. The stage is being set everywhere. We are in something very diabolical, but again, it is a result ultimately of the sins of our nation and the nations of the earth, their outright rebellion against a holy God, and their unwillingness to yield to the creator of the universe. We have in many ways defiled the earth. The earth is groaning and travailing. It can no longer stomach the sin, the amount of blood that's been shed, the wickedness that has been practiced. And the Bible says that the earth is groaning and travailing and vomiting out the inhabitants. So we have man-made agendas. We have real agendas. But here's what we do know. All of these conversations always seem to be going in the direction of what God said. Behold, an evil comes from where you do not know. A mischief rises, and you will not be able to put it off. And it will lead to destruction and devastation. And God gave that word prior to this. And then Ezekiel chapter 14, we ministered on the 4 sore judgments of the Lord that would come in this next phase of judgment. America has been under judgment since 9/11/2001. I mean, if the word judgment means crises, we've never seen crises like we have since 9/11/2001, and that's what it means. The word judgment means crises. It's the Greek word krisis, where our English word crises come from. And it means to separate. It means to judicially separate. And so these days are bringing great separation from the light and the darkness, the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the chaff. And so we're here. We're living in this very specific time. The earth is groaning and travailing. Man-made events going on, real events going on, like massive hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, volcanoes, fires, floods, wicked storms, hail falling from heaven, locusts on the earth, and we need to talk about it. We need to see what God's word has to say about all this. So God is out in front. And after we read about the 4 sore judgments in this particular phase, and if you want to know the different phases of judgment, you read Leviticus 26, and it tells you all the different phases. So we're in another phase of the labor pain. The pangs are going on, and as the woman gets closer to the birthing, the pangs get more intense and they get more accelerated. Now we are expecting 4 sore judgments, which was named by my brother Michael, who has a prophetic gifting, 4 waves. And now everybody's talking in these writings about bring the next phase or the next wave. Everything's waves. So we expect that the next wave, and we've been saying this, to be anarchy, civil unrest. We believe it'll probably be even a greater strain of virus. And now we're reading information confirming everything the Spirit has been telling us. So we have to be judicial. We have to think. We're not fear-mongering. We're not being dramatic. Something is really happening. And I love what Joanne Vian said in her book the United Nations global straitjacket. She said that people in America, they know something's wrong. They can feel it. They know it. They just don't know what it is or where it's coming from. And what she said was actually happening is that what happened in France during the French Revolution, that France was experiencing the stripping away of their constitution and their way of life, and they were being socialized. And then Bastiat said that it is inevitable that socialization leads to communization. And so we are witnessing socialism and communism within our nation right now. This is the battle. This is what we're involved in right now. So the president is fighting for a national capitalistic republic and a society of one nation under God. He's standing for that. He's moving in that direction. But the globalists are now fighting to bring socialism, communism. They're employing weapons to bring the people into compliance. And when you protest, they're going to bring their way to power. So it's getting very intense. And with each wave that passes, we expect that the next wave will be stronger than the first. The third wave will be stronger than the second, and the fourth wave will be stronger than the third. And we do believe this is happening. We're seeing the signs already of protest and anarchy. And according to what we just read, it doesn't get better. It gets a little bit worse. Now, I'm going to get to some public writings that are going on the board here in just a moment. But folks, I'm telling you, we are in something. Something is wrong. And we need to have a biblical perspective of what it is. So before I get into the book of Revelation, I laid that forth to you. You be the judge. And let me just say hello to folks that are on YouTube and on Facebook. To our sister, Sonia, good morning, Sonia. Looking forward to the days ahead. God bless you. Cindy, good morning to you. It's good to know that our beautician and sister in the Lord and a vibrant one is tuning in today. God bless you, Cindy. I want to say good morning to Ian. Ian is with us, and he's giving us a good morning. And Keith Carey, good morning, Pastor Vincent, putting food away from Kroger. Jeremiah 32 has a favorite song. Hallelujah. Keep putting the food away. I totally agree. Brother Gary Austin, good morning, Gary. Good to see you. God bless you, sir. Appreciate your wisdom and insight. To all of you that are out there, by the way. Michael John, good morning, overcomers. David Ellefson, shalom, everybody. Hello, David. Ian was writing in saying, not all of the information was counted in lockstep. However, lockstep initially hypothesized the scenario. Event 201 was the war game in Agenda 21. 2030 is the model for sustainable development, population control. We see it coming, don't we, Ian? Good morning, Vinny Pots and Pans, and to the saints, please remember to hit the like button. That's from Vinny Pots and Pans. You got to love that. All right, hit the like button. Now, Ian also said, watch out for mRNA vaccines. At first, the experiment seemed successful, as all the animals developed a robust antibody response to coronavirus. However, when the scientists exposed the vaccinated animals to the wild virus, the results were horrifying. Vaccinated animals suffered hyperimmune responses, including inflammation throughout their bodies, especially in their lungs. Researchers had seen this same enhanced immune response during human testing of the failed RSV vaccine test in there's a website here, and here's why Bill Gates wants indemnity for vaccines. Are you willing to take the risk? That is also something. We have a thank you to Ian for giving and sharing that information. And Kathy Bruns is saying good morning from South Dakota. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so here we go. Want to say just keep on going. Sonia saying it would be great to read Ian's resource. Yes, resource. So Ian, if people want to connect with your resources, let us know how. We'll make sure that you get them out to them. And we do appreciate Ian sharing this information, and I believe he's got a good, strong handle and on what is being shared. So do that when you're ready, Ian, okay? So now let's get to the book of Revelation. Are you ready? What does this all mean? Is there any information in the historical data in the Bible that explains anything that we're talking about today? Well, I believe there is. I believe there is, and we're going to get into it. Let me take a sip. Man, that vinegar is intense. So, Revelation chapter 8. Let's get there. Revelation chapter 8. Friday, I read through it. I went all the way through the first four. Are you ready to shift? The first four trumpets and the first four angels. That's all Revelation chapter 8. Now, go back, and if you can, from the beginning, just remember we're reading a prophecy. Chapters 1 and 1 is the introduction. Chapter 2 and 3 is to the churches to get them ready. Chapter 4, John goes to heaven. Chapter 5, he's still there. There's a book open with seven seals. That is the prophecy. Chapter 6, we went through the beginning of sorrows with the opening of the first six seals. Chapter 7 was a pause in the pangs. Chapter 8, a new phase of judgments. We go from the seals to the trumpets. And so chapter 7 tells us about four winds that are being held back till the servants of God are sealed in their forehead. We talked about that. And we knew now in chapter 8 that the first four angels with the trumpets, that the first four trumpets are the four winds, because you can't get a sound out of a trumpet without a wind. So we know that the winds are ready to blow in chapter 8. And we ran through it, but I want to show you something very specific, okay? And then we're going to go on into chapter 9 if we have time. So let's go again to Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, and here's what it says. Now, we're going to be dealing with the four winds and the three woes. Four winds, three woes. Chapter 8 tells us all about it. Chapter 8, verse 7, the first angel sounded, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. I'm going to have to take this off here and get a little lighted up until Kevin helps us out with our lighting. So the first angel sounded, that was just a, Kevin, if you're watching. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, where do we find that information? We're going to go to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, so amazing, because this is all in the idea of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. This is when God is dealing with the world power. Now, today, I don't believe we're talking about a singular world power. I believe that there is a power base all over the world, okay? There's not just one city with a tower. There are cities all over the world with towers, okay? And they're all interconnected, and it's a hierarchy of power. There's no doubt about it. But in Exodus chapter 9, verses 23 to 25, now what did I just read? That the first trumpet, which represents the first wind, the first angel, the first trumpet, the first wind, what happened? It sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. They were cast upon the earth. The third part of trees was burnt up. All green grass was burnt up. Let's see if we can find it in Exodus 9, beginning in verse 22. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, upon every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven. And the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. What the hell is going on around here, right? Lots of hail. So the good news is, if you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now, most likely that hail is not going to come upon you. There is a refuge for the people of God in these last days. It's not a pre-tribulational rapture. It is a place that God has specifically designed, actually many of them around the world to accommodate his people. I believe that with all of my heart. So Goshens everywhere. We believe that God has his Goshens. So we have a direct connect, don't we? Hail, fire, we saw what it does. That actually happened before in the last days in the book of Revelation. It is going to happen again, but not just in Egypt. It's going to happen all over the world. I believe that. That's what the Bible says. Reading in verse 8 now. The second angel sounded. So now we have the second angel. We have the second trumpet. And we have the second wind. All right? The second wind will blow. And as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Now, stop there for just a moment, because I'm going to take the second and the third trumpet together, all right? So far, the second trumpet, the second angel, the second wind, when he sounds, there's a great mountain burning with fire. It was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures, which were in the sea, verse 9, and had life, died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. All right, so, what is this hail, by the way? There is a very strong possibility that the hail and this mountain burning with fire represent cometary impact. I mean, there is a tremendous amount of evidence that God has rained down fire from heaven before, and that hail could actually be space rock, asteroids, meteorites, comets. And when they fall, that's why there's still heat and fire to them. It could be actual ice hail. But there's information in the Bible that refers to cometary impact. Okay, so right now we know a mountain burning with fire could be a comet, it could be an asteroid, it could be a meteorite with a tail of fire behind it making its way into our Earth's atmosphere. We know that the third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Where do we get this information from? Well, Exodus chapter 7 is where we're going to go, 19 to 25. But I want to read one more. The third trumpet, the third angel, the third wind in verse 10 and 11. And I want to put these two together before we read Exodus. So Revelation 8:10 says the third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven. So we have a mountain burning with fire in the second. Now we have a star, a great star from heaven burning as it were a lamp. Sounds like a meteorite to me. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood. The third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So take both of those trumpets, the second and the third wind, or the second and third trumpet, put them together, and let's go to Exodus chapter 7, verse 19. Exodus chapter 7, beginning in verse 19. And here's what we read. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take your rod, stretch out your hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon the streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood. Okay, there's your second angel, your second wind, Revelation 8:8, the third part of the sea became blood. And then it talks more about this. Okay, then it says, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. So Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died. That goes back to all the fish of the sea die in Revelation. So the fish in the river died. The river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And then later on, they're trying to dig around to try to get some water, and it's not working out for them. So we see the second and the third trumpet or wind in the story of Exodus. Now, the fourth angel sounds, and in Revelation chapter 8, verse 12, the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Where do we find that? We find that in Exodus chapter 10, verse 21. And here's what it says in 10:21. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. I got to tell you, I've shared this vision with you from nearly 29 years ago. A vision of being taken into space, knowing nothing about the stuff we're talking about today. Nothing but darkness. And then looking down and seeing planet Earth. And then descending and then making out the North American continent. I saw the tail of Florida. I knew where I was. It became clearer. And the closer I got, the Earth, the North American continent, was dark. It was dark. But as I continued to descend, there was a light on here and a light on there and a little light there and a little light there. Scattered throughout the nation were these little lights. I landed what I believe to be somewhere in Boston. The atmosphere was charcoal gray, like Russia had just taken over the United States. Only way to explain it. I heard a man walking on the cobblestone road in the middle of the night, echoing. In my vision, I followed him, and he went to a house where there was a light on. The man of God answered the door, x-rayed, visioned the man before him, got a total download. He noted that the man had been playing games with God. He was very carnal and fleshly. He was afraid and he just wanted rest for his flesh. I then, by the Spirit, went into the house. The man stayed out there. I went into the living room. I heard the most beautiful music I had ever heard in my life. It was heavenly. There was a flask of oil sitting by a lamp. The lid was off. The fragrance of the oil was there. There were 7 or 8 people in the living room with that music and that open jar of oil. Someone was laying on a couch and they were praying for healing. And it was the most beautiful environment you've ever known. In a home with 7 or 8 people, the glory of God was there. The man at the door knew that if he let that carnal Christian come in, that person's spirit, because they weren't real with God. They were playing games with God. That person's spirit would quench the spirit. So the man of God that answered the door did not let the man in. He did not let him in. In my vision, that man went to another house to try to get some help. I had that vision. I read these scriptures and I look at the times that we're in right now. We know that a lights out experience is coming. I personally believe the fourth wave in this phase is going to be the lights out. I believe that with all my heart. God put it in our hearts. I was born again in a home fellowship. I was raised up in Christ in a home fellowship. I saw the glory of God. I know how it works when it's done right. We started home fellowships in the 1990s. Our work went through a time of testing. We have continued to pastor for 28 years, and we are now being released to go back and start home fellowships again. We're doing it locally, and we're doing it wherever God opens doors. I believe in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5, God promises that He is going to set a defense upon every house where the glory is. And I believe just like in Goshen, where they had light, that's the vision. Darkness throughout the earth, light in the Goshens. And I believe that he's going to set a defense around the light, the defense around the glory. And I believe God is saying the reason why things are shut down right now isn't so we could just go back to mega church as usual. I believe he's telling the true ecclesia, this was your time to gather together in your homes, in your places of worship, in that place that God has called a Goshen. And I believe people are awakening and more are going to understand that it's time to flee the buildings and find their way into the houses, into those areas that God has prepared, where there has already been a preparation. There's been a preparation. That time will come. And when there, I believe there's going to be a cleansing in the house of God. I believe that we're going to see things change dramatically because it just needs to be that way. Now, my point in reading these verses in Revelation 8 again is to show you that the Bible interprets itself, and that when God was judging Egypt, he's showing that the judgment on the whole earth in these last days will be a reality. It's not symbolic. It's not types and shadows. There are events that are going to come in those four winds. And as you, if you could see it from a global perspective, rather than just in Egypt 3,500 years ago, you'll begin to understand how the environment and how the landscape of the nations is going to change. Satan is going to try to seize or capitalize on every event to bring more and more control, which is consistent with what the book of Revelation says this is all going to lead to that great tribulation period. We also know that many people are going to die and leave the planet by the time we get there. It's going to be a very lonely planet, a very dark planet, and the people that are worshiping the devil, and they're living by his mechanisms. And folks, if we are here at that time, we need to be ready to go through. God says if we endure to the end of the great tribulation, we will be saved. I know it sounds difficult. I know it sounds harsh, but how many of you know it was difficult for Jesus to let his church go into the Roman Colosseums? How many of you know it was difficult for Yeshua and Father God and the Holy Spirit to allow men, women, and children to be torn apart by lions? And we could go and read the book of Josephus and the other torments and tortures that were done to the people of God. And throughout 21 centuries, we have witnessed God's people suffer persecution. Somehow, this idea with the pre-trib rapture, once saved, always saved, Christians can't have demons, the Holy Spirit doesn't work anymore. We're the only people that believe we won't be here for this stuff. And yet God's church has been here for 21 centuries. We're in the beginning of that 21st century. Listen, we've got to prepare and get ready. And doing that means you get your spirit, your soul, your body cleaned up so that you can be navigated and directed by the Holy Spirit to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people. Right now, God is doing it. So, Revelation 8:13. What just happened, we read four angels, four trumpets, the four winds. The very next verse is verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. So notice, after the four winds of the four trumpets, there's now this pause. I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. So we go from the four winds to the three woes. From the four winds to the three woes. Now remember, the four winds blowing on the sea of humanity are political and social agitations. You'll find them in Daniel chapter 7. The four winds of heaven were blowing upon the sea of humanity. And then came forth the beast, right? So these four winds that are blowing, when they begin to blow, when this part of the prophecy is unveiled and when it's fulfilled, I believe we're still looking into the sixth seal. Okay, but this is what immediately follows the sixth seal, which could happen at any moment. And when this happens, those four winds blow, there's an agitation, political and social agitations all over the world. And then out of that, by the time you get to Revelation 13, standing on the sand of the shore, and a singular beast rises up out of the sea. We'll talk more about that later. But now we have the four winds blowing, and then we have in verse 13, woe, 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 the three woes to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. My God. The seals, look at the world we're living in today. The beginning of sorrows, the seals. Look where we are today, globally, around the world. Just put it all together. It's alive. There's an event that's going to shift everything in Bible prophecy that's going to open the door to these four winds, these four angels, these four trumpets, and this kind of activity is going to take place on this earth. Yet God's people in Goshen aren't touched by it. You see, that's the good news. God's people are not touched by it. Remember Revelation 5. So don't get weirded out, okay? Not that you are, maybe just in case. Now, we move on to the next chapter, Revelation chapter 9. But before I get there, I want to see if there's any commentary going on. Michael John says, it's sad that the freedom we once shared in this country is being consumed. You sure, you bet your bippy on that one, Brother Mike. It's sad, all right. May the broom of destruction, David Ellefson is saying, may the broom of destruction, Isaiah 14:23, sweep up all the defilement the enemy has planted against our lives, including his agents and constructs. I agree with you. Let the broom of destruction sweep them away. Keith Carey says, I like the New American Standard. I don't know what it says, Keith. I'd love to hear it. And Carol Carey says, Ecclesiastes 1:9, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. I totally agree. It's just a greater fulfillment in the last days. It's the realm of completion. The book of Revelation is the final prophecy. All these events have happened before, but this prophecy in Revelation to the final generation before the Lord returns is the final prophecy. This is where it happens globally at the same time, all over the world, with the upgraded reality of the intensification of the things that are going to take place. All right, so those are our comments right now. Blog Talk Radio, we've got our listeners there, 818-369-0326. Let's move on to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. The fifth angel sounded. Now we're getting to woes. You ready to get into the woes or do you want to talk? Listen, if we need to, let's just talk for a moment. Blog Talk Radio, 818-369-0326. If you have any questions or comments about anything we've talked about today, I want to open this line right now, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. And we'll bring you right into the broadcast. Any questions, any comments, 818-369-0326. Are we on track? Are we moving in the right direction? Well, let's ask one of our first callers calling in from area code 605-695. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Concerning the vision that you received years ago.
Yeah.
And when you saw this home and that, and then you said there was oil that was by in this house in sitting in the home there where the person was laying. Now, mm-hmm. is God showing you perhaps that the man that was there at the door also, he was not let in because he did not have any oil, one of the unwise virgins?
That's a great point. That is a great point. That's probably an unwise virgin right there. Absolutely. No oil of the Holy Spirit to enable them to conduct their lives in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And yeah, very fleshly, very carnal, playing games with God. The discernment was immediate. You see, there are broken people all around us that need help. And they have sincere hearts, but they have a lot of things to get cleaned up with. And so that's not what I saw. In my vision, it was somebody that just was playing games with God. And that is a dangerous place to be. And the discernment that the pastors or the bishops or whoever it is going to be, praying and interceding for these home fellowships, their discernment is going to be extraordinary, I believe, in this day. There's an extraordinary download of the Holy Spirit. That's why when we talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit right now, it's not about getting goosebumps and swinging from chandeliers. The Holy Spirit's influence in our lives should quicken us to discernment, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, revelation, tongues, interpretation of tongues, healing, miracles. I mean, this is what God is going to supply his end time church with through those vessels that are going to receive the baptism, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yes. Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Okay. The Pentecost that we're now entering into. Okay. So, according to God's order, then, will this be significant because of the timetable in which the Jewish people celebrate this or not?
Well, yeah, Pentecost and what they will be celebrating, the Jewish people around the world who have not yet come to Messiah, most of them who are religious, if you will, they will be celebrating Shavuot. And that's when Moses was given the law on Mount Sinai. And at the same time, a new covenant people made up of Jew and Gentile who have found Messiah understand that the Holy Spirit was poured out on that very exact day, that in the economy of heaven, in the economy of God, it was not to give the law, it was to give the Spirit. And the Spirit enables us to fulfill everything that God requires of us and to live that life and be transformed. So it's powerful. It's wonderful. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, so basically it's the overcomers is what we've come to, that state in time. It's people that are in that category.
Yes, and Kathy, think about this. I mean, in all sincerity, we have God's word, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have our hearts, right? Just think that God is going to, he says that he saves the best for last. And I would imagine that God has saved he's going into his wine cellar and he's going to bring out the very best wine for this end time. And he's going to fill the vessels with new wineskins. First, he's creating new wineskins in our hearts and minds to receive. You see, that old wineskin of pre-tribulational rapture, saved, always saved, sloppy agape, greasy grace, you know, all that wine skin is not going to be able to handle what God's giving. God is recreating the wineskin in our understanding so that when we receive the new wine, it'll be a power to enable us to go through. You see, right now people are thinking, how are we ever going to get through this? Well, the new wine is for the new wineskins and people that are allowing the apostolic doctrine to reconfigure their present mindset is going to be imperative. But can you imagine and believe that God is really genuinely going to pour out his Holy Spirit in a new and living way in our generation because we are about to go through what no other generation has ever had to go through globally around the world? So I'm saying that the word of God is very clear on this issue. Yes, we're going to get some great stuff, and it's for the overcomers. It really is. And the that general body of Christ is going to go into the great tribulation, and they are going to wash their robes and the spots, wrinkles, and blemishes that they did not get out during going to church, quote unquote. There was no sanctifying power or potency in the gospel that they were receiving. They're going to have to go into this moment and get cleaned up. And yet there will be a people, the 144,000 that we talked about, the overcomers, the bride, that will be going into the wilderness or standing upon the mountain. They will be preserved from what is coming down the pike. That's very clear in Scripture. Amen?
Praise the Lord. The sons of God are coming forth.
Hallelujah. I agree. Thank you, Kathy.
Yep.
God bless you and appreciate you calling in this morning. Let's take another call coming in from 479-855. I know this number. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast, Pastor Ken Wagner.
Good morning, Pastor.
How are you, sir?
I'm really interested listening to that because you've engendered a lot of thought. And if it happens to me, I know what's happening to a lot of other people as well. I can't help but think that some of the things you're saying is going to engender an element of fear. And that could be good, and that could be bad. And what I'm thinking of in terms of that is that on the negative side, it might very well begin to scare people to start doing some more research and begin to give their lives back to the Lord and begin to serve him. Because we know that when we have a love of God, it casts out all fear. And fear will not be engendered in the Christians because they need to know that God is God and he will take care of all these situations. But my mind went back also to that, as you were speaking earlier about that individual walking, looking for solace, looking to go into a Christian home. That is, I think, what's happening to a lot of Christians that really don't know the Lord. They're Christians in name only, and they're looking for answers. They're looking for solace. They're looking for Christians to be able to help them, and that is our job in these end times. And so it's good to hear the things that you're talking about. It will begin to wake up some of these Christians. It will begin the Christians that need to really know the Word of God and know the strength of His power, His healing might, His protection over each of us. As you have stated before, we've had services right along. No one has gotten sick. It's because we believe in the Word of God, we stand on the Word of God, and we reap the benefits from God all the way through. That's the strength that we have in our Lord when we really believe in Him and believe in His Word. And I'm happy that you're bringing these things up, engendering some of these thoughts in people so that they will begin to turn their lives more fully to the Lord and stand upon Him.
Pastor Ken, that was so well said, and you have testified that the presence of God in our meetings has been exponentially developed and cultivated. I mean, there has been such a glorious gathering together, and we're meeting on, Tuesday night Bible studies, Wednesday night Bible studies, Thursday night Bible studies, Saturday evening Bible studies, Sunday afternoon Bible studies, Monday night prayer meetings. It's been glorious, absolutely glorious.
The other half, and I'm just saying,
Hello.
I think individually as a group, those who have allowed God to mold us, you know, just do everything He needs to do in our lives and our souls, it's been glorious. I know we're married, you know, over 50 years, and just in our marriage, glory is coming out. I see it. In sisters and brothers around us, and different things in the family, it's an incredible time as we've just yielded to the Lord. He is just pouring, you know, we've allowed the old wineskin to go and allow Him to form the new wineskin. He's just pouring. He is pouring in His new wine and glory. It's so exciting, you know. And in that excitement, how could you get fearful about what's going on, because, oh my gosh, God is so glorious.
Amen. Amen. Sister Peggy, that is so true. You and your husband have served as pastors at New Wine Ministries, and we're not a mega church, but we have seen in the last couple of months, we have seen miraculous healings. We have seen people get filled with the Holy Spirit. We have seen deliverances begin in people's lives. We have had a presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in our midst, and it's been very genuine and very real. We have been super blessed, and I believe that God is ready to just do more. And you bring up again, what good would the new wine that God wants to give, which is a supernatural intrinsic value of power and ability and anointing to be able to go through these things in a supernatural strength and ability, if we had a mindset that said, well, we're not going to be here. What would be the good of a supernatural download of new wine that gives you an ability to overcome all sin in your life if you're thinking once saved, always saved? I mean, it just, God is really working the wine and the wineskins right now, isn't He?
He certainly is. He told us, you know, we talked about it at church. He's going to prune us. We know He's the refiner. He is going to burn out of the things in us that don't need to be there. He's just doing it as we allow, and so that we will be, whether we call it the new wineskin, whether we call it the vessels of honor, you know, all the, you know, creating us to be just vessels of honor and glory. And He's just doing it, and we just have to yield. And it's so exciting. I mean, my husband and I go back with the Lord, you know, 40 years, longer than that, and it's just incredible. I mean, we've seen miracles. We've seen so many wonderful things. And in my own life, He has done more miracles than, I mean, just almost every part of my body. But the excitement for me is to see the righteousness and the fruit in people's life coming forth now as we've allowed, you know, the Holy Spirit to, you know, which is in us, to rise forth and not be blocked by, you know, desires of the flesh and all the other stuff. It's just, I'm so excited.
Amen. And Sister Peggy, the best is yet to come.
Oh,
the best is yet to come.
It's almost hard to imagine. It really is.
Well, that's the glorious point, is that it is hard to imagine, but when that Holy Spirit begins to make contact like lightning, and you know, in our fellowship, we believe that the lightning surrounds the throne of God. It says in the book of Revelation, thunder and lightning. And we believe that God has spoken to us, that the lightning is about to flash, and we are a lightning rod. And God's people around the world, there are ministries, there are individuals, there are corporate gatherings where they have prepared themselves as lightning rods, so that when God releases the lightning, it's going to make contact with the lightning rod, and we are going to be super energized. I can't even understand the electrical component except to say it's resurrection power in the prophetic third day.
I'm sorry if it sounds funny. Our phone is beeping here, so I can't hear it. So. Thank you.
I'll let you go. God bless you. Thank you for calling in. We really appreciate it. Hey, we've got a lot of people on the lines right now. If you want to just weigh in the conversation, again, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll bring you right into the broadcast. That's, again, 818-369. We have a call coming in, 855-4156. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You are on the air, area code 415. Hello. 855-415, you're on the air.
Am I on the air now?
You are on the air now.
Oh, great. I didn't know it was my turn. Hello, Pastor Vincent. This is Brother Michael.
Oh, Brother Michael.
I'm just
This is the man who created the scenario of the four waves, by the way, on Kerm Radio when he was with Pastor Ken and I. Michael brought up the four waves. Go ahead and speak your heart, sir.
Yeah, I'm just really excited in what you're saying right here in the latter end, how God is preparing the hearts and minds to receive this new wine into new wineskins. And I just realized that in the scripture it says, he who began a good work in you, be faithful to complete it. I don't think we realize, maybe I don't realize, how deep Father God has gone down into my heart, my mind, and in the twinkling of a moment that things can all change, and I'm just going to be in awe. I believe a lot of people will be in that experience as well. But this is a time for preparation unto that moment. And I just want to remind us and myself and to the listeners that I remember back in Deuteronomy how Father God was leading a nation out of Egypt into the Promised Land. And back in Deuteronomy says, you know, I'm going to show you these nations that are greater and stronger than you, but I'm going to show you them little by little, and lest they become too numerous for you. But when you see them, you shall utterly destroy them. And I took that as a personal revelation that my journey out of Egypt, coming into the Lord Jesus Christ, that he'll show me things little by little that have been dwelling in my soul realm. He won't show them to me all at once because they'll become too numerous. But when he shows you these things, you shall utterly destroy them, nail them to the cross, and get the victory and walk as an overcomer. And I believe what he's doing today is that he's showing us by these events that are coming upon the world through the tribulation, he's showing us these earthly fears that are still in our soul realm through our emotions, through our will, through our intellect, that we need to utterly destroy. So I just wanted to share that because I think right now he's going to deal with our earthly fears that has held us back, that we may walk in a greater faith to have the victory, and especially the moment that we're coming into the Pentecost of the downpouring of this, whatever it be, revelation, blessings physically, blessings materially, reaping. But we'll be prepared, and I think all this time that we've been walking with the Lord, he's been showing us these things. And I just want to give a big hallelujah, praise the Lord for the moment that we're in, Pastor Vincent.
Well, God bless you, Brother Michael. I appreciate that. That's well said, and it is a time of really getting cleaned up before the Lord. Let's take this next call coming in from area code 903. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the podcast. You are on the air.
Call coming in from area code 903. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You are on the air.
Hello, Pastor Vincent.
Hello. Could you turn your computer down just a little bit in the back?
Hello, Pastor Vincent.
Yes, hello.
Could you turn your computer down just a little bit in the back?
I can. Hi, my name is Scarlett Dill. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. We have a lot of background with your computer, though.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Hold on just a minute. Let me make that adjustment.
Sure, no problem.
Is it better now?
That's so much better. Thank you. And who is this?
Hi, Pastor Vincent. I'm from the Tyler area, and I just want to tell you that I'm so looking forward to meeting you when you come. I'm a friend of Sonia's. I listen to you frequently, and looking forward to meeting you. I am so excited that you are covering the book of Revelation and referring back to what they call the Old Testament scriptures in the prophets that you must understand before you understand the book of Revelation. And a lot of people don't realize that. They read a book that is very hard to understand, you know, meaning the book of Revelation, and they don't understand that they need to go back to the prophets to really know the interpretations of the things that are spoken. So I'm very excited about that. Also, I wanted to mention something I don't know if you covered about Shavuot, that is a holiday that that was celebrated by the Jewish people to celebrate the giving of the law on the mountain. And when they all came together to celebrate this feast, which was commanded to come to Jerusalem from wherever you lived, they were introduced to the Spirit. So this holiday is the fulfillment of the law and the Spirit working together. That is so important. Christianity has forgotten that God gave a law, his laws and his ways, and it was not replaced by the Spirit, but it works in conjunction with the Spirit. So I just wanted to mention that, and I don't know if you had you made that known, but we need to start looking at God's commandments and the things that he laid down for us a long time ago. I am a Christian that has been following the feast and learning to walk out my salvation through the feast since 2003. And it is a blessing, and I wish that everybody would learn these things, because it was laid out for us as a guide to walk us through our salvation through Jesus.
Amen. And you, forgive me, your first name was Scarlett?
My name is Scarlett. Scarlett Dill.
Scarlett. All right, Scarlett, well said. I would encourage you, if you have a moment, to go back. This will be uploaded in about 15 minutes on YouTube or Facebook. And the beginning of the broadcast, I did talk much about that, but I like the way that you filled it in. God bless you, dear sister. I appreciate you calling into the program today. And I will look forward
to
meeting you,
Pastor
you as well.
Vince.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless.
You are welcome. You are welcome. Thank you for the blessing. I have time for one more call, and I believe it's coming from Elder George all the way up. Hey, Elder George, is that you, sir?
Yes, Pastor, it is. I'd like that word in Exodus, and then going to way back to the end of the Bible in Revelation, how the types and shadows and the scales that were just on was saying that tying the Midian with the New Testament, that precious word. I mean, the word is so precious, and it resonates. It resonates and hits the heart of people that know the Lord. And I just want to thank you for that. And how you do that in Revelation, and it is wonderful and it's precious, that word of God.
Thank you. Thank you, Elder George. God bless you. We appreciate that, and we miss you, and we can't wait to see you. When you're done with your time up there in Wisconsin, and you stay safe and you stay well, sir, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Lord bless you.
Thank you, sir.
You're having a great time down there. I already miss it.
You should be jealous and get home. All right, George. God bless you, my friend.
All right.
Shalom.
Bye-bye.
All right, dear elder. You know what? I'm a little bit over right now. I'm going to take this call coming in from 916 and say good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, Pastor Vincent, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Well, this is Mark from your Tuesday night Bible
study. Hey, I knew that voice sounded familiar. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing really well, feeling really blessed.
Good.
How are you, sir?
I'm blessed as well. I really am. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I just wanted to say a quick thing. I'm realizing from listening to your broadcast that the Word of God basically transcends all of time. I have heard it said along the way that the Old Testament is the Old Testament and not necessarily pertinent or valid or germane to living as a Christian today, but your teaching is showing us that the Old Testament is the valid, present, current, germane Word of God that moves through time, irrespective of the presence of the New Testament. It's all the Word of God, and I think that's extremely important to hear, to understand, and to realize. The second point that I'd like to make is that now is the time to really wake up and start listening to the Word of God, because you have pointed out, and I believe that it's true, I believe in the bottom of my heart that you're making a really valid point, that we believers who have been believing in this other doctrine about once saved, always saved, that we've been abusing that doctrine to excuse ourselves from responsibility to keep current with the Lord and to keep walking the correct walk with the Lord. I'm guilty of that. And I'm glad that you caught that. And I'm glad that you called me out on that. And I'm just, you know, I'm really, really so grateful to say that my eyes have been opened, that when we came here to Northwest Arkansas from California, it was by the command of God, and that we're walking the correct walk now. I just can't express to you how grateful we are for that. So I just want to thank you, Vincent, for being filled with the Holy Spirit as you are and listening to the Word of God and being moved by the Holy Spirit. And thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. That's it, man. That's all I got.
That's huge. That's a great way to leave the broadcast. Mark, thank you so much for those very kind words, and we'll give God all the glory, but thank you so much. And you both are very dear to our hearts. You truly are. And all of our friends around here are very, very dear to our hearts. And we're just going to keep putting it out there. God bless you, my brother. And guess what?
God bless you too, Pastor.
Tonight, we get to see you tonight for another Bible study. Hallelujah.
We're going to worship together tonight.
Yes, we are.
Hallelujah.
Yes, we are.
Praise
All
God.
Right, my friend.
Praise God.
Shalom.
All right.
Brother. All right. That's Brother Mark and his lovely wife, Cindy. Beautiful, beautiful phone call. I want to say hello to some of our friends. Diane Gravely is listening in right now on YouTube from Minnesota. Misty Antonson is also listening in from Alaska, I believe Misty is from, on YouTube as well. So we have gone a little bit over, and this broadcast will be up and running probably in about 15 minutes, both on YouTube and Facebook. So you can go on back there, listen to the whole program. We were in the book of Revelation, chapter 8. We were all over Exodus. We talked about some very important information at the beginning of the broadcast, and we've gone out in such a beautiful manner. I want to wish each and every one of you a tremendous Tuesday and a preparation for Thursday night, Friday for Shavuot and Pentecost. And make sure you're with some really good people and celebrate that day. Remember, and maybe the Lord will do something special in our midst. He knows we want it, and I know you want it as well. So I'll be back tomorrow with Daniel Seckham. Will be joining me all the way from Australia. We'll get the Aussie out here, getting some good download again. And, of course, tomorrow afternoon at Kerm Radio, I'll have Ian with me, who has been the sharer of a lot of information we put out earlier today. So Ian will join me. We'll have another conversation on Kerm Radio at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time. And right after this broadcast, remember, we have a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week radio station on the Internet, OmegaRadio.org, OmegaRadio.org. And right after this broadcast, there's a message from Patricia Joy Xavier, my beloved wife, in her roundtable discussion out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, on how to prosper during famine. You're not going to want to miss it. I'm Pastor Vince Xavier. Got to go right now. Heading to OmegaRadio.org. Till we meet again. Shalom, everybody. Thanks for joining us today on YouTube, Facebook, Omega Radio, and Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.